Zone to start there on the sweetest thing, and Richard Ashcroft there with Surprised by the Joy at 8:15, the Full English Breakfast Show. Now here is Mark Dazzali with the first of a weekly UK coronavirus diary.
Well, there's nothing like the benefit of hindsight. And even though Britain has been transfixed by the coronavirus catastrophe, unravelling on its doorstep in Europe, it was only on Monday night that the government bowed to the inevitable and imposed a partial lockdown. After a particularly wet and grey winter, and perhaps because of the sense of impending enforced quarantine, the first sunny days of spring this year saw the great British public flock to parks, beaches and natural beauty spots. In such numbers, it made a mockery of government calls for voluntary social distancing. This last open-air hurrah followed the enforced closure of bars, restaurants and cafes last Friday. The government had fallen short of the closure of cinemas, clubs and theatres earlier last week, merely instructing the populace to stay away from them, therefore depriving these venues of potential insurance claims. The ambiguity of the British Prime Minister's position was evident when he implored that elderly mothers should be left alone in self-isolation on Mothering Sunday. He immediately contradicted his own advice, saying that he hoped to see his own mother. Well, let's hope that he took her a pack of sought-after toilet rolls. Meanwhile, Mother's Day flowers perished unsold in supermarket buckets. It was the images of lorry loads of coffins in Bergamo, northern Italy, that really set the alarm bells ringing last week, followed by graphs showing how the UK could be just 2 weeks behind similar devastating scenes and casualty numbers. The opposition, lacking clear leadership, have been restrained in their criticism. Attempting a show of national unity, they made the point that sustained cuts to NHS facilities during 10 years of austerity had left this revered national institution struggling to cope with an emergency global pandemic crisis. Despite the public being assured that planning for pandemics has been a long-standing practice, Boris Johnson looked like the star of a Brian Ricks farce at the Whitehall Theatre, caught with his pants down while his cabinet ran around in circles. As edicts were doled out in the daily press conferences, ministers scrambled to fill in the details, making up policy on the hoof. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, a good old political backstabbing scenario saw Dominic Raab emerge amongst the contenders as the de facto deputy leader should Boris himself succumb to the invisible virus. Well, so much for planning. NHS workers and paramedics complained about the lack of personal protection equipment. To be fair to the government, things are beginning to look up. Their make-it-up-as-you-go-along strategy has seen unprecedented financial bailouts for industry and workers, with a rare show of unity between the government, business leaders and unions. Private industries have turned their production lines to manufacturing much-needed ventilators. As he doles out public funds, the ad hoc Chancellor Rishi Sunak's reputation has been growing in stature as swiftly as Boris's has been diminishing. Johnson's Brexit-style exhortations and let's-get-this-done-style epithets have failed to reassure a fearful public. The Prime Minister's dreams of reviving a Churchillian spirit have dissipated like cigar smoke with each suppressed public schoolboy smirk. Day one of the official lockdown yesterday saw more crowded trains and buses as services have been cut back and the definition of who is and who is not an essential worker were left unanswered. Freelance workers and the self-employed are still waiting to hear if they'll get a slice of the bailout pie to stave off starvation and bankruptcy. Supermarkets have begun to implement social distancing measures after scenes of crowds patiently waiting to panic buy look like the mosh pit at the now-cancelled Glastonbury Festival. The first hour of shopping is now reserved for the elderly, vulnerable and NHS staff. Despite all of the theoretical planning for such a pandemic, political pandemonium and civil confusion still prevail. The powers of the police to implement the lockdown is being obstructed by the healthy British love of privacy and their disdain for bureaucracy. No national identity papers exist, except for the revered blue passport. No attestations or self-declarations are so far required on the permitted daily excursions to exercise and to purchase essentials. Measures are now being rushed through Parliament to give the police powers to legally implement the lockdown and to issue fines. It is hoped that the sense of great British fairness will prevail, but as has been seen, civilization seems to be only as thin as a single-ply bog roll. At least, as opposed to a police state like China, that seems to have got the virus that originated on their soil under control, even in a curtailed democracy, we can indulge our national sport and are still allowed to complain. It's not all doom and gloom, though. The British sense of humour and appreciation of satire is shining a light and continues to provide resilience in these dark days. Great acts of kindness and community spirit are spreading faster than the virus itself. Communities are shopping for their vulnerable neighbours, students are keeping an eye out for the elderly, pensioned off NHS staff are coming out of retirement, and volunteers are ready to assist the health workers putting their own health at risk on the front line. Many schools are voluntarily staying open beyond the end of term to look after the children of essential workers during the Easter holidays. And speaking of Easter, many people are still pondering where they're going to spend their enforced extended holiday. In their bedroom, perhaps, or even their living room. Or if the sun keeps shining, and they're fortunate enough to have one, perhaps even in their garden. If they're lucky. Mark Dazzani reporting from Lockdown Britain for 106.5 Riviera Radio.
And Mark will have another coronavirus story for you the same time next week. Well, at least for the lockdown, there are a few bright points. It is your chance, of course, to read a few good books.
Once in a lifetime, there comes a book which is not like other books. A book so different from other books that it is unlike any other books. A book whose comparability with other books is just not on. One such book, which has achieved this peculiar dissimilarity to other books, this lack of resemblance to books whose homogeneity is in marked contrast to the dissemblance with this book, is Monty Python's Big Rude Book. Red Book. I understand. I'm very sorry. I'll start again. Once in a lifetime, there comes a book which is not like other books.
It's the funniest book in this funny old world. It'll have you on the floor. If you read it once and you read it twice and you'll still want to read it more. It's wacky, zany, crazy, funny, witty, daft and droll. It's the funniest book in this funny whole world. Monty Python's Big Red Bowl. It's the funniest book in this funny
whole world.
Here
is a correction to the lyrics of this jingle. The last verse should have read, it's wacky, zany, crazy, funny, witty, daft and drook. It's the funniest thing in this funny old world, Monty Python's Big Red Book.
It's the funniest book in this funny whole world, Monty Python's Big Red Bowl. It's the funniest book in this funny whole world, it'll have you on the floor. If you read it once and you read it twice and you'll still want to read it more.
Now let's see if we can all spot the mistakes this time around.
Witty, daft and droll.
There's one.
It's the funniest book in this funny whole world, Monty Python's Big Red Bowl.
Wrong
again.
It's
the funniest book in this funny whole world.
Hello, Mrs. Gorilla.
Hello, Mrs. Non-Gorilla.
Where have you been? Shopping?
No, I've been shopping.
What did you buy?
Nothing. I bought Monty Python's Big Red Book.
Oh, and I suppose this must be a commercial for it.
No, this is a commercial for it.
Well, we'd better say how good it is then.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
The Minister of Health in Monaco has confirmed 4 new positive cases of COVID-19 in the Principality since Sunday evening, bringing the total to 27 proven cases, including one who has made a full recovery. 10 of them are hospitalised, the others are being followed at home, but not all of them are Monegasque residents, said the Minister. Taking into account that the hospital Princess Grace takes care of people from neighbouring municipalities. The minister concluded that the health situation in the Principality remains manageable, as there is not yet a very rapid increase in the epidemic. Meanwhile, according to the update communicated by the Regional Health Service on Tuesday evening, 1,595 people tested positive for coronavirus in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region. 509 are hospitalised, 133 people are in intensive care, and 26 people who tested positive have died. As France reaches the second week of confinement due to the coronavirus, according to the French government, it now looks highly likely that the confinement measures will be extended to at least another 6 weeks. Last week saw some reports suggest until the 25th of April. It would now appear that it would be until at least the 10th of May. The news comes as France on Tuesday went over the 1,000 mark for the number of deaths caused by the virus, reaching 1,100 deaths since the start of the epidemic. In total, 516 patients were on Tuesday evening in intensive care out of a total of 10,176 hospitalised patients. Following the French Prime Minister's announcement of tougher lockdown measures to be enforced for several more weeks in order to contain the rapid spread of COVID-19, the government has posted online its new certificate for circulating. The form now has a box to indicate the time of exit, as Prime Minister Edouard Philippe announced during his speech on Monday evening. The certificate is available on the government website. The president of the Hotel and Tourism Federation, the UMIH Nice Côte d'Azur, Denis Cipollini, has made it clear that the framework agreement for emergency hotel accommodation signed between the state and the federation means that the Côte d'Azur is ready to make available almost 900 rooms within 24 hours for urgent requests from the prefecture services. These would concern the accommodation of nursing staff, lorry drivers, police and the homeless. A device which also includes sick people, for example, suffering from cancer, who do not live in Nice and must stay near the hospital where they receive their treatment but without having daily care. Meanwhile, the AGPM Group, the specialist insurer in defence and security, has announced in a press release that it's donated 550 masks to Liberal doctors and nurses in the Var. The AGPM Group specifies that it has donated 100 FFP2 masks and 450 surgical masks. These masks will then be distributed to Liberal doctors and nurses in the Var, who are currently suffering from a dramatic shortage. Similar to Paris and the Principality of Monaco, Nice, the capital of the French Riviera, will disinfect its public spaces from Thursday. Disinfection agents will be deployed to fight against the spread of the coronavirus. The operation is scheduled to start no earlier than Thursday morning, will be carried out 3 days a week before the public arrives. Officials have added that the product in question, based on highly diluted bleach, will have no impact on the environment. According to information from the Parisian newspaper, following the coronavirus epidemic, a Parisian nursing home has been particularly affected. 16 people have died in the establishment and 81 are currently positive for COVID-19. The home welcomes 510 residents. The vast majority of those who died are over 90 years of age. Among the staff of the establishment, 20 are positive for COVID-19. A psychological unit is organised on site to help the families of the victims. According to data from TomTom, due to the coronavirus, Paris has become the least congested city in France. While in other major cities in France, we still notice the usual peaks of traffic in the morning and evening, Paris, usually the most congested city in France, is on the contrary the least congested during this period of confinement. Finally, MOT centres in France remain authorised to open during the coronavirus crisis, provided that they comply with the health regulations in force. But many professionals prefer to close as a precaution. And it's been announced that the state has granted an exceptional period to respond to a situation which is just as important. A tolerance of 3 months is granted for the deadline for the MOT, or contrôle technique in French, of light vehicles. The control of heavy goods vehicles and vehicles dedicated to public transport must continue, giving the major security issues. But here again, a tolerance is granted, limited to 15 days. Beep, beep, beep,
beep, yeah. Riviera Radio Travel News.
You can still go to Speedy as well, Vardonc chez Speedy, if your car is up the spout. So they were open as I was driving past yesterday in Antibes. Road's very quiet, of course. Make sure you've got your attestation dérogatoire if you're going out. And there's a new form to be downloaded from the French government's website, the French Interior Ministry, that says Intérieur, or Ministre de l'Intérieur. And you'll find the form there as a PDF. Just download it, fill it in, and you have to put the day and also the time you're going out now onto that form. Public transport winding down across the region, as are trains as well. And the few flights that are operating, you should check with your airline before setting out on your journey.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
The Summer Olympic Games and Paralympic Games in Tokyo have been postponed for 1 year because of the coronavirus outbreak. The president of the IOC, Thomas Bach, and the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said they were in 100% agreement the Games would be put off and would now be held no later than the summer of 2021. In a joint statement, the IOC and the organisers of Tokyo 2020 said the unprecedented and unpredictable spread of the virus outbreak has seen the situation in the rest of the world deteriorating, and they had no choice but to postpone the Games. Football, the Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola has donated €1 million to help fight the coronavirus outbreak in Spain. Guardiola, who's currently at his home in Barcelona, said he'd been working with his lawyers over the past few days to work out the best way of using the money. The funds will go to a campaign being organised by the Medical College of Barcelona and the Ángel Soler Daniel Foundation. Spain is one of the worst affected countries in Europe, with more than 2,700 deaths and close to 40,000 infections. Rugby Union, the national stadium in Wales, could be used to help authorities tackle the coronavirus epidemic. The Welsh Rugby Union says it's been approached by the Welsh Assembly Government and the National Health Service about use of the Principality Stadium in Cardiff. The WRU said the stadium would be made available when and if required. And in racing, all racing in Ireland is to be halted following new restrictions because of the coronavirus outbreak. Action has been taking place behind closed doors, but no fixtures will be allowed now until at least the 19th of April. On Tuesday, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, announced that all sporting fixtures in the Republic of Ireland were being cancelled from midnight because of the pandemic.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Man, Seaman, the VAR, the general situation, high pressure 1,040 millibars over Poland of all places, and the depression 1,010 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are variable, force 3 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat meant, and the barometric pressure. North Corsica, winds northeasterly, force 3 to 5, the sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5, westerly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Sunshine and showers today with moderate variable winds. Temperatures 13 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 5 degrees on the coast, 1 degree inland with a widespread frost again and clear skies. Thursday and Friday remaining quite unsettled with a few showers about. A bit warmer on Friday, highs of 12 to 15 degrees. Finally, offices, factories and schools have been shutting to manage the spread of coronavirus, and with the governments telling the nation to stay at home, millions are logging on to work and to keep themselves entertained during the lockdown. But that's putting pressure on broadband providers to keep speeds up. There's a list of tips to get the most from your internet. The advice ranges from the seemingly obvious, like downloading films in advance rather than streaming them when someone else may be trying to make a video call. But also, did you know that microwave ovens can reduce Wi-Fi signals? No, I didn't. So don't use the microwave when you're making a video call, watching HD videos or doing something important online. It suggests positioning your internet router as far as possible away from other devices that may interfere with the signal. Now, those devices include cordless phones, baby monitors, halogen lamps, dimmer switches, stereos and computer speakers, TVs and monitors. Now, also, you should make calls on a landline where possible because of an increase in demand on mobile networks. If you do need to use your mobile, try using your settings to turn on Wi-Fi calling. Similarly, you can make voice calls over the internet using apps like FaceTime, Skype or WhatsApp. It's also suggested disconnecting devices that are not in use. Now, the more devices attached to your Wi-Fi, the lower the speed you get. God, we'll really be in trouble if the internet goes down. I've said that before, I think.